This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Wednesday morning, everybody. We're all back, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 31st, episode 1707, brought to you by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Everybody up, rise and shine. It's a new day.
It's Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday.
Here we can go again.
Oh, and away we go.
You're back. Yes, congratulations. We're back. Welcome home. You were on a cruise ship. That's my worst nightmare for like a month. How long were you gone?
7 nights, and it was just the right amount of time. We were ready to come home on the 7th night, but I was not ready to start cooking for myself.
Oh, no. You know, my dad just went on a cruise, too. Actually, he went on like 2 in a row. And he came out this weekend and he's like, I've just gained so much weight. I'm like, why? He's like, because I've been on 2 cruises in a row. So is that all people do is eat?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's food 24/7, right? And you also, when you go to dinner at the main restaurant, they either have a buffet you can go to or you can go to the main restaurant every night. And they have 21 restaurants on this ship, Jamie.
There's, oh my gosh,
21 restaurants. There's 36 bars.
Oh my gosh.
So we went to the main restaurant every night, which they had a couple formal nights, and you saw the pictures of us all dressed up. And the servers get to know you. You have the same servers every night. We had these two girls from China who are absolutely delightful. And so they get to know what you like. And before you even got there, they'd have your favorite drink on the table. Like they made these cold melon soups, like watermelon soup. And they were just really good. It was like ultimate smoothies, you know? And I loved them. And every night she had a different one on, sitting there waiting when we got there.
So I don't understand. What's the point of having 31 restaurants if you go to the same one every night?
Well, we went to different ones for lunch. And then they also have premium ones where you pay extra. They're not included in your cruise. And we looked at the menus on those, and it wasn't anything that, you know, we had to have to pay extra for, because the food was so good anyway that you get included. So, you know, and you go to dinner there. You can order 3 entrees if you want, and they'll bring you all 3. Many nights we got 2 desserts. I really cheated a lot this trip. So we'd get a dessert at dinner, and then we'd bring a dessert back to our room.
Oh, my God. No wonder.
Well, they were so good, you couldn't just eat one. I mean.
Oh, no. God, I got shattered listening to you.
The menu was different
talk.
Every night, yeah. So, you know.
And they do cater, like, for, you know, we actually were watching little things like this because we're doing the Horse Lovers Cruise coming up, and it's been a question. It's like vegans or vegetarians and stuff. You actually notify them in advance. Before the cruise, they have somebody you can email, and they make a note of your table and everything, and then they actually have entrees just for you.
Vegan entrees? Yep. Wow, that's impressive.
There are 20 kitchens on this ship, and they have 260 chefs that work on meals every day. They put out 220,000 meals in a week.
That sounds like a nightmare.
We did get to tour the kitchens, and they were the cleanest things I've ever. I used to work in a kitchen. It was my first job for 4 years, and it was not that clean, let me tell you.
Yeah, Chad washed dishes. His first job was washing dishes at Hardee's or something like that.
I was washing dishes at Zinn's Diner. We're in the same boat.
Yeah, gross. Well, anyway, let's get into our show. Stop talking about the cruise, because apparently you just did a long segment about it on the
Stable Scoop, and Rhonda, our cruise director for the Horse Lovers Cruise, is going to do a little interview with Jennifer and I, and we're going to put those out at the end of some of the shows coming up. We'll let you know about that for people who are looking at going. We're kind of going to do a review and things that you should, for the people who are coming. We've had 60 sign up so far, so for the people who are coming, little tricks that we learned there too. So we'll be doing all of that in future shows.
Gotcha. All right, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's Horse Lovers, .com Wednesday edition, Chris Austin is going to stop by as soon as we've covered all of Jamie's adventures. And he's got a breed highlight this time, the Peruvian Paso. And to add a little extra salt to the mix, guest wrangler Denise is going to stop by and join us because she became the proud owner of a Peruvian Paso over the weekend. And then wrapping up the show, Alex McDonald from Classic Carriage in Melbourne, Australia, is going to bring us the story of the driver's struggle to save their livelihood down under. That'll be an interesting conversation. So stay tuned for three, folks.
Very good. I also have a study show for you guys later. You can kind of do the guessing game on study show for the month of May. There were some interesting ones this month. Well, it's Daily Whinny time. My Daily Whinny goes out to Tommy. And Tommy's owner is an Australian rider named Jackie Wright. And Jackie bought Tommy as a green six-year-old as a babysitter companion horse for her eventer, for her big eventer. Well, Tommy, it turns out, likes to do stuff. She discovered that Tommy liked to jump. So she started taking Tommy along with the serious event horse to shows. And then she would compete him in little baby stuff. Then she discovered that he was doing better in this little baby stuff and liked to jump more than her serious event horse. So she started competing Tommy, and Tommy has now gone up to the one-star level and has competed in two national one-stars and one international one-star. Now, one-star, wow. What height are you jumping at one-star?
That's preliminary level, and I believe it is 3.7. Well, I don't know what it is in Australia.
Wow. Maybe
it's pretty high, you know. But the reason that I'm bringing this up, you're saying, why am I talking about Tommy? You know, a lot of horses do this. Well, not when they're 13 three-hand ponies.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Tommy is a little gray pony, and I saw the videos of her jumping Tommy around, and Tommy is a fireball trooper. He just covers that cross-country course, and his little legs are picked up. He's not hitting anything. He is just a crazy little jumper, sort of like, you know, Theodore was. Wow. He is a cool little jumper. Now, he is a pony, and she said he loves his food and is always looking for ways to break into the feed shed. You have one of those. He says he's often galloping around and playing in the paddock. He's got a big ego, and he likes to try and boss the other horses around, though not always successfully. So, yeah, Tommy is a bit of a pony, but apparently he's also a good jumper. Now, the problem, she came in, she was... She finished 23rd in the CIC one-star at the Ballarat International Horse Trials in May. She's come in 14th, up to 14th place, and she'd do better if he liked dressage. But apparently Tommy's not such a dressage diva, and she really has to work on that.
She could do pony jumpers and make hundreds.
I know. Weren't you doing eventing?
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, my Daily Whinny goes out to Tommy.
Well, he just walked in right now, and I would like to say happy... What's so funny?
I'm sorry, the Whinny.
It gets me every time. I would like to say happy birthday to my little man, Lucas. Today is his 4th birthday. Happy birthday, Lucas.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy, happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday,
yay!
Lucas.
And that's his horse, Chili, who just whinnied. So there you go.
Sounds perfect.
We're having a trouble understanding things. Like, he had his party on Monday. And so now that I just said happy birthday, he's like, thinks it's his 5th birthday.
Oh.
Because his 4th birthday was on Monday. So now he's 5.
He wants another party.
I know. So anyway, so the cool thing about it also being Lucas's birthday is it is also, you know, I have two brothers and they don't have any children. They're not married. So basically, it boils down to Lucas is the only grandson.
He's it.
On my side of the family, he's it. And it is also my father's birthday. So Lucas was actually, his only grandson was born on his birthday. So happy birthday to my dad, too.
Wow, that's great. And, you know, it's hard for me to believe. I was thinking about that when I saw your picture, by the way. It was a great picture of you guys all in superhero costumes for this party. That was a great picture. We should use that as our show notes picture today, Jennifer. It was a good picture.
Geez.
But it just 4 years. I cannot believe it was 4 years ago.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, like, I finally had to stop working here because I was so pregnant. And
but
that was 4 years
ago. You worked right up to a week or two before.
Yeah, until you have to pee every 5 seconds. And I was like, I just can't sit here anymore.
Yeah,
and then
I have always had that problem. That's why we play a song in the show.
I know, but we'd have to play, this would be like a music show. It'd be like a DJ.
I have an excuse. I'm old. I don't know what yours is, but.
Oh, gosh. Funny. So, yeah, I think I went up to like 2 weeks.
Month, maybe?
Yeah.
Total?
Yeah. And then I was like, I need to work again because I can't take this.
Lucas spent a lot of time on the show back then, but he was never that disruptive.
No, he's in here now. What he does now is it's 6:15 in the morning. He should not be up, but he comes in and he walks in. I hand him my phone and he goes back to the to the couch and behind
you. You couldn't do that when he was one and screaming. That didn't work as
no.
well. No.
No, it did not. So anyway, there we go. Happy birthday. Dad, well, happy birthday, Lucas.
That's terrific. Well, now you did something fun over the weekend. You got to go hang out with Zeus and go to a horse show. We got to see pictures if you're following along on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Zeus is your latest Mustang. Zeus is also the one that breaks out of things too, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Fortunately, he did not get out of any stalls at this horse show.
She had him duct taped.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why do you have chains and all sorts of things around?
Padlocks.
Just don't ask. Yeah, and everybody else has, like, you know, the stall guards up. Yeah. And they're like, oh, yeah. I'm like, no, not going to happen. This is the worst idea I've ever heard.
Well, speaking of stall guards, before you get into your show, speaking of stall guards, apparently while we were gone, our landlords were taking care of the horses. They live at the other end of the property. And they made a mistake of taking Scooter out first. And Nigel was not having anything of that. He was in his stall with his little, you know, that stall guard with the rubber thing, the chain and the rubber thing that goes across.
Yeah.
He decided that he wasn't having that. And she all of a sudden put the pony out in his paddock and looked around. And there goes Nigel. He had crashed through and ripped the screw eye right out of the wall. Took off and apparently got between the yard, the fence, and I don't know how it is in Arizona, but in Florida, all of the water system is outside. So your water tank, your water softener, everything's just above the ground outside. Well, ours is right along his fence. Well, he got between his fence and the water tank and broke the water tank. Hit the water tank and broke the pipes leading to the water tank and apparently sent a geyser about 100 feet into the air. So that's what he got up to while we were gone.
Wow.
They had to replace the whole water tank, the system, everything. So
they should have followed instructions. Nigel goes first.
Nigel goes first. Sorry, I had to tell you that story.
That's okay. Yeah, so Zeus did not get out. I wanted to know, like, how detailed do you want me to get on telling you about my horse trial? Because as an eventer and as a chick, I can break down fence by fence and move by move in dressage.
Okay, then 10 minutes.
Well, just real quick about, let's see, dressage. He warmed up amazing. And
now,
there was
remind everybody that's new listeners, because I know we have a lot. You got Zeus from the Arizona auction of Mustangs.
No. He came from Northern Nevada Correctional Center.
He came from
a prison. Yeah, he came from a prison where he was gentled by an inmate, and I adopted him from there. And all of our listeners were very excited. Elisa Wallace actually had picked him out of the group, and I just thought there's no way I'd ever afford him. But he was so cheeky and naughty in the auction that I was able to afford him because he was so bad that I saw potential and everybody else saw crazy. So... That's how I ended up with him. And he's awesome. And he's proven to be quite talented in jumping. So I've competed in him. I competed him once last year, like, I don't know, 2 months after I started riding him, because I had entered Thor, and Thor just kept continually proved that he was not going to do it successfully. So I ended up taking him, and so this one was going to be a lot better. So dressage, he warmed up great. He's not very strong. I think I battle him, his fitness, because he stood in a holding facility for 6 years. He was born in a holding facility up in Nevada. So he basically stood for 6 years in like a paddock. So it's been really hard to kind of keep him fit and get him underneath himself and be able to like do really nice transitions upward and downwards that are collected. But he warmed up great. And I was like, this is perfect. And apparently they had an issue with the water truck flooding the dressage arena. So right before the judge went in to have the first ride of the day, she goes, no, this is unacceptable. So they went in and they got a box scraper and scraped all of the footing out of the arena.
So what was left, sand? Where were you?
By the time I went, it was just like baked, hard dirt ground. And so this is actually at Coconino Horse Trials, and it's where it's around the track. They used to have races there, but apparently like 2 weeks ago, they had a monster truck rally. So all of the footing is like jacked up in the dressage areas. So they scraped it off. So every horse went in and just went super tense. If you looked at the scores in my division, they're all nobody got into the 20s, and I was competing against, I'm in the open division. So I'm competing against like somebody from Rolex, two people I've had as coaches before, you know, like really the kind of fancier, better riders that have younger horses. And I only am in that division because I've competed a higher level with Jet. So I'm like, don't qualify for these, you know, the lower level ones, unless I'm in the open division. Anyway, long story short, dressage, he got quite tense. And all I had been practicing, Jennifer, all I had been practicing was my canter departs and my halt, my canter departs and my halt. Days of canter departs and halts. Canter depart, bucks and farts. Picks up the wrong lead to the left. And I was like, damn it. And it took like 3 tries to get him to pick up the correct lead to the left. To the right, same effing thing. Bucks and farts, picks up the wrong lead twice.
They didn't give him extra points for enthusiasm.
I got a 4 on both of those movements, and it said in the comments, nice ride.
You were probably really lucky you got a 4. I think that judge was being generous.
I think she was very
you
nice.
You did get bonus points for sticking it, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's why I got a 4. And then the halt was, he halted and then backed up like 8 steps. Like, what did you tell me I'm squeezing him for? You know, it's like the one movement that needs to be perfect. And we'd also worked on our walks a lot. And I thought the walk was pretty good. She did not. So I did not impress the dressage judge very well. And then show jumping, the more tired he gets, the more he just runs at the fences, because it's hard for him to kind of like sit and use his butt to like collect and do it like a show jumpy canter. So he warmed up terrible, and then he went in and he was perfect in show jumping. We did have a rail because there was a really weird turn and he was on the wrong lead and all that. But anyway, he was good there. And then cross country, he warmed up like a nightmare. And I was like, oh, he's so terrible in warm up. He's going to be awesome on course. No, I mean, he was awesome. Nothing stopped him. Nothing scared him. Nothing backed him down, and he was a complete runaway. So fence one, he's kind of sticky on water, so I thought I'll spend some extra time in the water. So I was like, but there's a long gallop between fence 2 and 3, so I'll just let him go. That was like a really bad idea to let him go, because I couldn't get him back. I didn't get him back the entire course.
We needed Larry Colmus calling this one.
It was like a little, I half halted so hard at one point to get him, because there's a combination, but like a corner to a ditch. And I half halted so hard that he actually like half reared. He was so fired up. But he went clean. And after being like ninth or 10th in dressage, He moved all the way up to fourth. So we finished in fourth place.
It's not a dressage.
He didn't have time penalties, I assume, then.
No, because to avoid time penalties, I actually stayed in the water. Like, I'm walked around in the water. Like, I schooled it, came galloping down, went in the water, did a little circle, went around and cantered through it. So I was like, I got some time to kill. I need better not get speed penalties.
Well, you explain that in that at the novice level, I don't know if it goes all the way up the levels. You can get penalties for going too fast.
Right.
Yes. Yes. If you commit, let's say I went beginner novice. So at beginner novice, you have 1 minute that you like, say the time was like 5 minutes and 10 seconds. If I came in 4 minutes and 9 seconds, I get penalties.
Right.
But if I go, you know, a minute like over it or double the time or something, then you get eliminated. So there's a window that you're supposed to come in because you're supposed to ride the course at the appropriate speed. So you don't come in too early and you don't come in too fast. When you get up to training, you've got like 30-second window. So you have to really be on your time. But it's basically so people don't do what I did and ride like complete absolute crazies out there on course. And
they'll even yellow card you now if they think you're out of control, right?
Yeah, yeah. Everybody was really nice. They're like, oh, that's the Mustang.
Yeah,
yeah, right. Just like
forgive him.
and I thought it always feels worse than it looks. No, it pretty much looked like that too. I was told. Chad, like, you came back around really fast because it's in the woods, you can't see anything. And I was like, yeah, I know.
Was he tired?
No, but the thing is, the thing about this horse is, and it's kind of dangerous, is he will not tell you when he is tired.
That's bad. Yeah.
Because what he did, you know, and I never talked about this on the show, but about 3-4 months ago when I was schooling, he actually was so tired that he flipped over a jump and did a somersault, show jumping. So basically he just doesn't quit. And so his little butt gives out before he will stop mentally. So it's kind of dangerous. Like the last
problem that Elisa had in her show, it's, you know, he'll just keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That he just keeps going, and it's a problem. So the last fence on course is the biggest one, and he hit it so hard that I ended up on his neck and back down. I didn't ever feel like I was close to falling off, but I felt like it was a good thing it ended where it did. And I mean, I'm working on fitness, and I have got a lot more to do with that for sure. But he just is. He just doesn't tell you when he's tired. And so what he does is he pulls forward and gallops away as opposed to like getting his hind end underneath him because his butt gets
what
tired.
Order of events was this one? Was this stadium first or how did they do it?
No, dressage and then stadium were on Saturday and then cross country was on Sunday. And he lived in his back on track blanket the whole weekend. The weather was amazing up there. It's like 105 here. It was 70 and then highs of like 72, low of 40. Flagstaff is amazing this time of year. And the horse trial was great. I've never done this one, the spring Coconino. I usually do the summer one. This one was so laid back and so fun, and the atmosphere was awesome. The weather was perfect. The people were really fun. And I was amazed at the types of horses there. Jennifer, it was like back to old school eventing. There were hardly any fancy warm bloods there.
Really?
This is not California eventing.
Was it mostly thoroughbreds or what?
There was a bunch of thoroughbreds, but I was blown away by the variety of horses. The first time I ever evented, my first event ever, I got beat by a Norwegian Fjord, and it won my whole division. I thought, this is a sport I like because I come from the hunter world where only certain people won with their certain horses. Yeah. And I was like, damn, a pony can beat me on my big thoroughbred. This is the sport that I want to be involved in. And this was the complete amalgamation of breeds. I was like, what kind of horse is that? Oh, this is my Shetland Arab thoroughbred warm blood Hackney Mustang cross. Like, I mean, it was like every single person had just this crazy story about this crazy rescue horse or this breed. There was a Clydesdale competing, a full Clydesdale.
Yeah.
Full Clydesdale.
I bet you he didn't race around the course.
Ellis Island.
He came in overtime probably a little bit.
I don't know, but it was in the beginner novice division, just in the amateur division. So it was really cool. And then guess who else was there? Barb Crabo, who is a former Rolex rider who I've taken lessons with. She was there and she had this pony. And I thought, that is the cutest damn pony I've ever seen. What is that? Teddy O'Connor's half brother.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Oh, really?
What was Teddy?
Out of the same mare. So the Arab Shetland is the mare. And then the sire was a thoroughbred. I don't know about Teddy. I think the sire was a thoroughbred. But Google that real quick, Jennifer. But this was the mare is an Arab Shetland, and they bred it with like one of the best event jumpers in Ireland. And this was this pony she was riding, and it is as cute as a Dickens. It's adorable. So it was really, really fun. And then I saw this black pony that looked exactly like a grown-up, trained, muscular, fit, healthy version of Precious Magic Gallop Jennings. Okay. Just a twin of what hopefully I hope she'll look like. So I saw this horse and I said, I have to know what kind of horse is that? Because I have one that looks like yours. It's just, you know, terrible looking right now. But like, your pony looks just like my pony. What kind of pony is that? You know what her answer was? I have no idea.
That didn't help.
I said, what do you mean? Like, what? She was like, oh, it was a rescue. We don't even know what it is. I'm like, damn it. I wanted to know what kind my pony is. So we talked and ended up becoming friends over the weekend. The people were just super fun. It was relaxed. And there was just...
I heard you met some listeners too. So that was kind of cool.
I did. There were some listeners, and one of the listeners, actually, Sean, if you're listening, bless your heart, love you. She said that she falls asleep to our show every night. I was like, what? She's like, you're not boring. It just relaxes me. But
to our show every morning, so we're even. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It's no big deal. I get it. Yeah. So she listens to the shows, and she said that the Amber interview from Heartland really meant a lot to her. That show meant a lot to her.
Well,
and
let
her
me
daughter.
Tell you, that Amber interview, which was the Friday before vacation, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and we haven't had a chance to talk at all. We were pretty much out of communication last week, but that Amber interview, it will be our most downloaded interview or our most downloaded episode by far this year. By far.
Wow.
It might actually come out to be our most downloaded episode ever in the 9 years and all 6,200 episodes by the time we're done. They're still listening to it. So, and that was a lot because thank you to the Heartland people. They promoted the heck out of it. So we appreciate that too.
She was so enjoyable. And then I also got a lot of messages about and heard about the interview with Pat that I did.
Yes.
I did like a one-on-one with Pat Roberts, Monty, or Robert's wife. And she's so fascinating. And I would like you to know, for the first time ever, I went back and listened to one of our shows with me
Pat.
On it. I listened to that one. I was like, gosh, she's so cool. Like, she's just so amazing. What a classy, you have to be classy to go be sitting in Bedouin tents and all the crazy things that she's done, like staying in Windsor Castle. And it's just very, very cool stories that she has. Anyway, so that was fun.
I got some response too. Last week we had new shows coming out all week. And if you missed them, I got some good response on the interviews I did with Wendy and Helena about their early life. It wasn't really about horses, about their families and growing up and things. And everybody loved those. And so you're going to have to do one here soon too. But it was, and Wendy's of course was exotic because her grandmother was a princess and the communists took over in China. I mean, it was kind of this unique story, but we're definitely going to have to do one on you here soon.
Yeah, nobody needs to know any more about me. They all know enough.
We need to know the early days.
No, you don't.
Well, that's great. Congratulations. Now, was he fourth out of four?
No, fourth out of like 12.
Really? Wow.
Yeah,
that's unusual
really
for
well.
us.
I know. Well, you're like, how, what, you, we need you to talk about your show. I'm like, it actually was pretty good.
No, it's like, well, that's boring.
I still will not trust him enough to wear the Horse Radio Network pad. Like, he told me not to wear the saddle pad until I've got one. That's
I think I did ask you that. You know, we were in that parade with Wendy the one time, the horse parade in Lexington, outside of Lexington, Georgetown, has a horse parade every year. And we were in that horse parade. We had three horses pulling a carriage and two and a one. And the one in the front was just carrying on. I mean, just a nightmare. We thought we were going to kill children. Children were running from the sides of the street in this horse parade. And so we decided, and all over the carriage, I had Horse Radio Network banners. And we finally bailed out. Her boyfriend at the time got out and got in front of this horse that was rearing and heading for the crowd. And we found a side street which was lined with people. And he said, "You might want to move." And they all scattered. And we went down the side street and then went back and quit. And I was taking the banners off as we were heading toward the side street. So I'm very careful about where we represent now, because
I know.
So he'll be permitted in about a year. We can put the logos back on.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully, we'll see.
One other thing too that happened, or do you want to talk about the Chad thing a little bit later?
Oh my gosh, my husband is so amazing. Up to you.
Let's talk about it a little later. Let's first talk about Horse Lovers. You know, it is Horse Lovers Day, and I was just shopping on their website this morning, and I was over there, and this is so dangerous, especially for Jennifer to do, but she does it anyway. She goes there every day, and I know a lot of our listeners and our auditors talk about going there every day, because they always have sales and deals going on. I was over there for the deal of the day now, and it's a holdover. If you go over today, it's Wednesday as we're recording this. If you go over today, they have all of the Memorial Day super deals still up there. So we're talking Da Vinci bridles for $27. We're talking Gatsby triple stitch halters for $17.
A Treadstone breastplate for $15. Oh my gosh.
The flash deal, by the way, there are 29 pages of those deals from Memorial Day leftover that you're going to want to check out. And Jennifer, you know how you're borrowing the rope halter for Nigel right now from our neighbor? And they have the exact same rope halter for $4.49 on sale. Right.
Well, I'm going to get two.
I know.
I'm going to go get two. I'll be back in a minute.
I know. So, yeah, I mean, they just have all these sales. Well, the one then I headed over, that was in the, let me see which section, that deal of the day section. Then I went to the flash sale. And, I mean, you're going to have to go. There's 2 hours left. So if you're listening to this live, you're going to be fortunate. They have Noble Outfitters Ladies Universal Riding Tights, which we had reviewed by one of our listeners, and they loved them. Marked down from $89 to $22.
Dink it.
In extra small, extra large, small, medium, and large. So all of the sizes in black for $22. You can only buy one. They're only allowing you to buy one at a time. But for $22, marked down from $90, you can get that right now. If you go over, you'll have 2 hours left. So head on over to horselovers.com if you're listening to this live and check it out. If you're not, just there'll be another thing up there immediately after. And that's 75% off those breeches. And as I said, they were well-reviewed by one of our listeners last year.
That's the deal of the day?
Yeah, that's under the flash sale. The deal of the day is all the Memorial Day super deals that are left, and they have a ton of.
There's so many freaking deals I can't deal.
I know.
I'm like,
it is a rabbit hole. When you go to horselovers.com, you're not going to be there for 2 minutes. You're going to be there for a while. They have McAllister 1200 denier waterproof breathable heavyweight blankets. If you're looking for a blanket for next year, marked down from 150 to 58. I mean, it's just incredible prices over there right now. They have hunt coats that are Wellington Youth Collection. If you're looking for a show coat for your kid, they have them marked down from $99 to $29. So definitely horselovers.com. You're going to want to check it out today. We're going to talk a little bit about what Chad did for Jamie, and it involves one of our sponsors, too. And I think you were probably a little surprised. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But first, we love to have our listeners on, and in this case, one of our people here at the Horse Radio Network. She's our guest wrangler, Denise. But we love to have our listeners on and talk about their new horses when they get a new horse. And kind of it's a new horse highlight. Well, Denise got one. I'm not sure how this one ended up there because she has way too many horses now. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning. Yes, I'm definitely insane, aren't I?
Yeah. Well, I know you have a collection.
Was that 5 horses ago, though, or was it now?
Well, you know, I Mary Kitzmiller, we joke with her all the time that there's no way that she can count the number of animals she has, and she refuses to do it. And I personally think it's about 100. But and then we had Tara Carter on as our new host of the Western episode yesterday, and I asked her how many horses, and she said, I don't know. Are you at the point where you don't know?
Well, let's just say I've been at the point for a few horses that I'm lying to my family at this point.
There you go. You're at that point.
So when they ask me how many horses I have, my strategy now is I start naming them, and about midway through naming the ones that I have, I sort of change the subject so they kind of lose track. And that's my strategy.
Well, it must be working. So tell us about your newest one. Just got there, right?
Actually, yes, he arrived night before last, about 10 o'clock at night. And here's how it all went down. As you know, I joined every saddle club Facebook group, I think, on the planet. Well, at least in Florida. And it just happened that I was perusing through some of the boards, just seeing what was going on in Florida. And someone posted this horse, and she's in Tennessee, but she wanted the horse to move to Florida. This was her dream for their family horse, was that he moves to Florida.
Why?
Because,
And the reason why her justification was, being in Tennessee, that many of the people in Tennessee don't quite treat their horses like we do down in Florida. You know, they're more like livestock, and he's a gated horse. So she was concerned that he was going to end up in the wrong hands in Tennessee. This is her story anyway. And so she posted the horse. She said, he's been our wonderful family horse. All I want is for this horse to get to Florida. She actually was giving the horse away. So I was kind of intrigued. He's a Peruvian Paso. And I thought, well, you know, I don't have one of those yet. And so I started asking her questions about him, and she, you know, made him sound so wonderful and just, you know, kind of, she was kind of acting like she was screening people, you know. I mean, I gave her a bunch of information and references, and I told her, you know, I might be interested, you know, maybe. I didn't really think anything would come of it, you know, but I thought surely somebody more qualified than me might want this horse. Apparently not. And so about a month later, I just had kind of like forgotten about it. She sent me a message and she said, I would like for you to take my horse. And I said, well, okay. And then there was the logistics of working out transportation. So the deal was I could have the horse. I just have to get him to me. And she wanted me to come up there and pick him up. Well, I'm chicken about driving in the mountains with my truck and trailer, so I wasn't going to do that. So I posted on more Facebook groups and posted that I was looking for a transporter just to see what would happen. And I got several quotes. And then the nice guy from Equo, that Jake that we've had on before, contacted me and he said, why don't you try using the Equo app and see what you come up with? And I did.
And it worked?
And I got a great deal. Yep, I got a great deal on hauling. It was so cool. You you actually make your reservation. It gives you a quote online. They set you up with the driver. They give you all the information. And it really worked seamlessly. It was so cool. I mean, Jake kind of helped me through it because we were chit-chatting about it on the side. But I thought it was really interesting that you could use that Equo app and transport a horse from, say, Tennessee to Florida.
That's amazing. And, now, that's the Uber-like app that we talked about, only it's Uber for horse trailer, horse delivery. Yeah.
Exactly. And so they were picking up other horses. In fact, the other horses that came with this horse were going from Tryon to Wellington. So he got to ride with some fancy jumping horses. And they all cried when he got off the trailer when he arrived the other night. And of course, you know, I had no idea what to expect. I've had horses arrive in the middle of the night before, and it's not always the greatest experience. But he came off the trailer, and he was pretty chill. And we've got him in the round pen now. I haven't introduced him like to the herd one on one yet. He and the donkey have made friends through the pen panels.
Yeah, donkeys are like that, though. They deceive the new horses into thinking that they're going to be a friend, and then.
I don't know. This donkey does pretty much get along with everybody. Oh, he's a pretty cool little dude. But my big jerk app, who thinks he owns the herd, decided to tear down a fence yesterday. He still couldn't get to the paso because he was trying to tear the fence down, but I had the round panels. And he tore down a fence trying to kill him yesterday, which was fun. But that wasn't the fault of the paso. That was because, let's face it, a lot of Appaloosas really are jerks. And and so,
okay,
and
wait
so
a minute, hold it, stop, Denise, stop, not... stop, stop. We haven't mentioned this yet this week. If you have any complaints about anything said on this show, please send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Okay,
amen. Go ahead.
No, truly, well, no, this I love Appaloosas. I have a pasture because... full of them.
What's
well,
that, Jamie?
Say, she's the one who booked the Appaloosa breed highlight we had on 2 weeks ago, right?
That's true. Yes, Denise is our guest booker.
No, I love Appaloosas. I truly do.
But they can
I
be
truly
jerks.
Love Appaloosas. I was just so ticked. I am so ticked at him. He is, I'm telling you, when I switch these horses out, that big app is going in the round pen, and he's going to take the place of the paso in the round pen when he gets to come out
All
and
right.
meet the rest of the horse.
So, Denise, you got a Peruvian paso. Have you ever had a paso of any kind before?
No, and in fact, I've only ridden one once, and that was about 30 years ago.
Okay. So you got this brand new horse, and of course, you're our guest booker. So I see today that you have booked, and this is good because I didn't know there was a difference between a Pasofino and a Peruvian Paso. And you got Chris Austin to come on, who's here with us right now, who is with the North American Peruvian Horse Association. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning.
Now, as you know, Denise just got her first Peruvian Paso, and we thought it would be appropriate to get you two together today to talk about this. And, you know, I'm going to let Denise take over and really ask you questions because she's the one that's directly affected by this today. So go ahead, Denise.
Hi, Chris. So nice to meet you.
Likewise.
Since I've just gotten my first Peruvian Paso, and I also, I noticed that the name of the association is the Peruvian Horse Association. So is that the Peruvian Paso, or do they call them something different now?
It's an excellent question. So the Peruvian Paso originated in Peru and carried the name Peruvian Paso, I'd say through the early to mid 2000s, when the North American Peruvian Horse Association was formed, and it was formed out of two breed registries for a number of years in the United States. And when those two organizations combined in the mid 2000s, because of the confusion of between a Peruvian horse or the Peruvian Paso and the Pasofino, the breed organization decided to, begin changing the name of the Peruvian Paso to the Peruvian Horse to try to disassociate or create clarity between the Peruvian Horse and the Paso Fino. As while they're both gated horses, they don't really, they have some similar background, but by and large, they have different backgrounds. We look for different things in the show ring. They are, they're a gated horse, but overall, the Peruvian Horse, we look for more length of stride than what they do in the Paso Fino breed.
Interesting. So are there conformational differences as well?
Typically, the Paso Fino will be the breed standard, a little bit shorter, and I would say straighter angles than the Peruvian Horse. We look for a little more hock angle, a little more sloping shoulder angle to allow for more reach. So, and they're a little bit more compact. So if you look at a typical Paso Fino and a typical Peruvian Horse, the typical Peruvian Horse would be a hair bit longer, I would say, and a little bit taller. Not quite as compact, but relative to other breeds, the Peruvian Horse is somewhere between 14 and 15 hands. So, on the smaller side of riding horses, but a little bit bigger than a Paso Fino.
Well, yes, and I've noticed with this guy that came in, and he is my first, so I'm looking at him, and I noticed his shoulders do seem somewhat bigger. Oh, is that sort of a normal thing? Well, that makes for that sort of paddling gait they have?
I'm not sure if that would originate out of the shoulder. We do like to see a defined shoulder and as part of their conformation. The looseness and the terminal, as we like to call it, originates for some horses out of the shoulder, and then some originate more maybe out of the knee, and the execution of the terminal varies quite a bit in the breed and in the different bloodlines. While all have some of it, some have a lot more and some have a lot less, and where it originates from can vary.
How many gates do the Peruvian Pasos have, or the Peruvian Horse?
So they have the walk, and then they go from a walk into what we call a Paso Llano, and that Paso Llano is an even four-beat gait, and that is the bread and butter of the breed. It's a very distinct paca, 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 and you'll have four distinct sounds. As you increase speed, typically they'll move into what we call a Sobrandando gait, which is still a broken four-beat gait, but it's moving a little bit more towards the pace. So it's more of a papak, papak, papak sound. So you have the walk, the Paso Llano, and the Sobrandando, and then as you continue to push for more speed, eventually the well-gated horses will move into what we call a pace, or a huachano, and if you're going to speak Spanish. So you have those four gates, and then like any good horse, they'll canter or gallop under saddle as well. So really you're looking at the walk, the Paso Llano, Sobrandando, huachano, and then the canter. So five different gates.
Well, one thing I also noticed about the Peruvian horses, as I've seen online, is that they have really beautiful tacks specifically for the Peruvian horses. Is that, are there any tack items that are specifically different and required for a Peruvian horse, or does it matter? And what is the history of the fancy tack?
So all of our tack that are made for the Peruvian horse is still made in Peru, and you're exactly right. The tack is very unique. It's beautiful. We have a saddle that doesn't have a saddle horn. And the way that saddle is designed is it sets you back a little bit. The only requirement I would say, I guess I should start this off saying you don't need to use Peruvian tack on a Peruvian horse. Typically in the show ring, and for us, we do a lot of trail riding as well. We do use a Peruvian tack for everyday trail riding as well. So the saddle itself has no horn, but it sits, it sits you very deep into the saddle. It's a very comfortable saddle. A lot of confusion or interest in what goes behind the saddle. We have it's kind of like a tailpiece. And the only functional piece, and it's hard to explain without having a picture for everybody, but there is a crupper that runs from underneath the tail to the back of the saddle, obviously to prevent the saddle from sliding forward. But then there is also a leather piece that kind of goes over the tail, and then some leather straps that come back up that connect to the middle of the saddle. And that doesn't really serve any purpose. It's really for decoration only. And then as you move forward, the traditional Peruvian tack is a halter, a bridle, and then usually has eye covers, tapaojos as we call them, which is just decoration now that sit above the eyes. We don't actually cover the eyes with them, but it's purely decoration. And that makes up the whole show tack, I guess I would call it. But if we look at what you can actually ride the Peruvian horse in, that we do have a Peruvian style bit, but I have seen all sorts of bits being used on Peruvian horses. Saddles, the most important piece is that the saddle fits the horse. And some of our horses are more shorter back, so your traditional very large Western saddle may not fit a Peruvian horse very well. But if the saddle fits the horse, typically the horse will be happy and perform the gaits that it naturally does. That it will do from its mother side from days old.
Denise's husband Bill is going to be happy to hear that she has to shop for a new saddle now. So he's going to be really happy about that. I can hear it now.
Well, you can say that, but you don't need to.
Well, here's the deal, guys. You see, yesterday was Bill's birthday, so I sort of pretended like this horse was his birthday present.
Oh, genius.
Did that work? Did it work?
I think he kind of bought it.
Yeah,
can you believe that?
No, I don't, actually. I'm a horse husband. I don't believe that for a minute. Chris, I got to ask you now, Denise trail rides, Jennifer trail rides a lot here in Florida. Trail riding's huge here because there's so many places to go. And Denise, when you go out, I swear the trail riders now, 80% of them are riding gated horses. Have you seen an increase, Chris, in the amount of horse ownership of Peruvians or Pasos or your kind of gated breeds in general because of the popularity with trail riding now?
I would say yes and no. We, like most breeds, we saw a decrease in the number of breeders during the Great Recession a number of years ago. But what we have seen is, while we haven't seen a significant number of breeders come back, but we have seen these horses being more and more recognized and used on trails throughout the country. And outside of areas where, there's always been a good population of Peruvians in California and Texas, what we're seeing now is a growing interest on the East Coast, where Pasofinos have long dominated.
Mm-hmm.
So we, it's the Cadillac of all rides. So once, our goal as an organization or, as a breeder or owner of these horses is once you can get somebody on a Peruvian horse, they will then understand where our passion comes from and we'll be quickly looking to buy one of their own. So.
Well, Denise.
Well, that's what I've been told too. So I can't wait to ride him. It's probably going to be a few days before I actually do that, but I'm giving him a few days to settle in and,
whatever, hop on. Don't be a wuss. Cowgirl up.
You better wait till I get a few more guests booked in the hopper.
Yeah,
so
yeah, don't break her yet. She's
land
a job
on my
to
head.
Do.
Yeah, don't break me yet. Now, one other question before I know you've got a meeting you've got to get to, Chris, but I'm curious, when riding these horses, is it typical that you ride more on contact? Do they ride on a loose rein? What is the riding style exactly?
So typically there's contact, not pulling, which I'm sure all our horse friends can appreciate. But when you ask them to move out, typically their head's going to come up and they'll be mm-hmm. looking for light contact to hold them in, to collect them and hold them in their gait. Our horses have a real natural energy as well. We use the term brio, and they'll look for that light contact to kind of keep them settled and moving in a nice, consistent gait.
Wonderful. Well, I am looking forward to the experience, and we'll be reporting back on that as soon as I get a chance to get him out and see what he can do.
This afternoon.
I can't wait to hear.
Right. This afternoon. Actually, Well, I have team sorting tonight. Should I just go ahead?
Yeah,
go
bring
for
him to that.
Take him to team sorting.
Yeah, that'd
take
be
him.
Great. Your first ride at team sorting. That'd be terrific.
Yeah. If your saddle doesn't
I think
fit,
maybe
just
not.
We do have a number of people that use them for sorting in Colorado that I'm aware.
Oh, really?
Of.
So, yeah.
That's what I thought. He seems like he might be a good little cow pony. He's the right size, and I noticed that he has some little quick. Dodgy moves.
Yeah,
he
should
he
be quick on
do,
his
like,
feet.
You know, like the cow ponies do. Yeah. Yeah. So he might be better than my Rocky Mountain I'm using for that now. So,
size the limit. Once
maybe
know
in a few weeks.
Well, Chris, thank you for joining us. Yeah. Chris Austin with the North American Peruvian Horse Association. You can find them at the NAPHA.net. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so
right,
much.
Take care.
You too.
Well, Denise, good luck with your adventures here with this one. That'll be fun.
Yes, it will. I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes, and hopefully it'll be a positive thing, and maybe Bill will leave him ride. You never know.
He's just got to get
horse.
Off his bike first. Yeah. Oh. Hey, Jamie and I and Jennifer want to thank you for all the hard work you did in putting the Amber interview, the Heartland interview together. That was, it's been downloaded a ton of times and, definitely will, will probably be our number one episode this year. And, it was you that put that together, but also the Heartland people who promoted the heck out of it. But I know that you were involved in that whole thing. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're quite welcome. It's exciting. It's almost like the thrill of the chase trying to get these people on.
Well, and you're working on one for next week that has me super excited on a very personal level that we won't mention yet, because I know there are some people that also know about them. So hopefully we'll have that set up for next week, and I'm very excited about that as well. And thanks for all the hard work and putting the guests together.
Oh, well, you are quite welcome, and thank you. Now, Jamie, go on and tell us all about that ring, and I will get off the line.
Thanks, Denise.
I was going to tell you that, Glenn always gets to pick, super hot chicks that he wants to have on the show, and I'm pretty sure that we need to have Thor on here, the real Thor, not my horse. Thor, Chris Hemsworth. So I'm just going to throw that out there.
Was it The Rock that we saw the article on that owns Event Horses?
Oh, I'll take him too.
Was
yes,
it The Rock?
The Rock?
It was.
Yes.
Get good, The good Rock call. On. He owns Event Horses.
It's The Rock, isn't it?
Yeah. And you know what?
Okay, well, I'm on that.
Well, his movie just bombed, so he's going to be free. Baywatch just bombed. So, it's did terrible. You're going to lose $100 million
so
dollars on it. So, yeah, not
okay,
good.
Okay, well, y'all can talk to him about that. Yeah. That'll be fun.
Yeah, they love talking about stuff like that.
Thank you, Denise. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
So, funny enough, one of the worst interviews ever, talking about asking very inappropriate questions of your guest. I was doing radio with this group, Steve and Vicky, in Atlanta, and we had MC Hammer come in the studio.
Yeah.
Like, it's Hammer. I mean, he's got an entourage. He's MC Hammer. But he'd been through some hard times and he was coming back. And this is one of the most fun appearances I ever did. Was the first question, I am booked with MC Hammer at a mall in the afternoon. Okay. I'll explain in a second. So MC Hammer comes into the studio. He sits down. The live button, mic's turned on, and Steve turns to him and goes, wow, it's MC Hammer. Last time we talked to you, you then went bankrupt.
Oh, jeez.
I was like, oh, my God. That is not the appropriate first question that you warm up a guest with. And mind you, I have to spend 2 hours at the mall with MC Hammer later on this afternoon, who then shut down in the interview, was a complete nightmare to talk to, hated me all afternoon. But I think more it was like he hated his life, because you want to know what MC Hammer and I were doing together?
Oh, no.
At the mall?
No. You were at a jewelry store.
No, no, no. I was the MC and he was the judge of a Dance Dance Revolution contest in the middle of the mall.
So you had quality there.
Seriously, MC Hammer was judging Dance Dance Revolution contest in the mall on like a Tuesday. So he was already a little angry at life anyway, but then don't ask somebody about them. Like, hey, you heard your movie bomb this weekend. Heard you went bankrupt. Not a good start.
Not a good anyway, start to another
That was
view.
Random. Every once in a while, something jogs these random memories of mine.
Well, let's talk, before we get to an interview I did last night, to get a little serious here for a couple of minutes, let's talk a little bit about that fancy toy that you got. It was your anniversary, right?
Yes, my wedding anniversary was on Memorial Day, and we've realized that now there are no more wedding anniversaries for us because, unfortunately, our child was born like 2 days after our anniversary, so every freaking anniversary will now be surrounded with birthday parties. That's right. And so it was actual birthday. We had a birthday party for Lucas. So so last night we decided to kind of celebrate a little bit, and I got a really nice card, and then I got the box, the small little, you know, like obviously it's a ring. And he hands it to me. Didn't get on one knee or anything. It was weird. hands me the box and I open it up. And it is the rope ring from Kelly Hurd Jewelry. And I had had it like last time I think it was the last time we were on the air. We had them as a sponsor and I was looking through their stuff. And hey, that needs to go out of this room. Thank you. We have a new grandpa got him a Lightning McQueen race car and he's running into my computer.
Okay, out. 4 years old. Little boy.
Yep. So I open it and it's this beautiful ring and I think it's aquamarine. And then the part of the ring actually looks like a rope, like a lariat. I think it looks more like one of my favorite types of lead ropes. So I'm going to go with that. But anyway, it's really beautiful. And he went to Kelly Hurd? Because I had it up on my computer. He's so good. He's
I saw
so
the
good.
Picture of it, and it's very pretty. It is very pretty. Yeah. He did a good job. Look at him stepping up.
Yeah, he
and
really
listening.
Did great.
That also
I cried.
He was listening.
He's really good at cards. Like, I'm not going to read it because you guys would be like just grossed out. It's so sweet. But anyway, like I read the card, and I started crying. Then he gave me the jewelry. Yeah, it's hard being married to somebody as emotional as me. I think when you're a fighter pilot, like he didn't mean to make me cry. And I'm like, oh my god, it's card time. Oh my god, it's the ring. Oh my god, it's from Kelly. Oh.
Are you always surprised with all the crap you put him through that he still loves you too? By the way, is that also part of the crying?
Well, absolutely. Well, see, here's the thing. One of the lines in the card,
and that comes
I knew
from
then,
a co-host that's been with you for 1,600 episodes. So
yeah,
I'm allowed to say that.
Totally, I get it. That one of the parts in the card said, I knew then, as I know now, that you don't let a woman like you go ever. And I was like, really? This is what you want to hold on to? Is that bad? And I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Why are you still here?
Why are you like, you still know now? Like, I thought maybe you were like, I didn't know then, and I married you, and now I'm stuck with you. And so, like, but he's like, no, like, I'm not just stuck with you. I actually still like you.
But he is gone now, part of every week. So maybe that helps.
He's taking time off from the airlines. He's finishing up his job as an Air Force pilot. So he's with me. We had so much fun at the horse trial. It was just get out.
I hear the car. That's funny. Don't you hate it when parents get noisy gifts?
No, thanks, Grandpa. Thanks, Grandpa. Lightning McQueen runs it into walls. So I can't remember what I was saying, but pretty much my husband is awesome. Oh, the horse trial. I didn't take any students. It was just me and Lucas and Chad, and we stayed there. It was so peaceful and relaxing and nice. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is what it used to be like when it was just like us.
The good old days.
I have a quick story about jewelry, too. When you go to the islands in the Caribbean, they're known for their jewelry stores because everything's duty-free. And it tends to be cheaper than buying them here in the United States. So every chain jewelry store, every local jewelry store, you'll get off the ship at whatever island, doesn't matter. St. Martin must have had 100 jewelry stores right off the pier because there's 6,000 people getting off a boat, right? So, you know, every day. So they have these jewelry stores. And I had Jennifer, we were talking about what she was born in May and her birthstone is an emerald. And I thought, well, I'll go looking for emeralds. I did not know a thing about emeralds, by the way, until I went shopping. Do you know emeralds are very expensive?
Yeah. Emerald City was something special, Glenn. It wasn't like, you know.
Yeah.
Boring.
Well, even the smallest emeralds were like $14,000.
What? Oh my gosh. I didn't know they were that expensive.
Emeralds make diamonds look really, really cheap. So needless to say, Jennifer, did you get an emerald on the trip?
I did not get an emerald.
No, she did not get an emerald on the trip. Or Jamie wouldn't be getting paid for the next year.
There is a 22-carat emerald that is $502,000.
Yeah, emeralds are not cheap. There's a reason now I know why I never got her birthstone. She would have. We determined she could probably get emerald.
I'm
going to
get a cubic zirconia and put green nail polish on it.
That's
that's what I was going to ask. Is do they manufacture emeralds now, or is it only wild caught?
I only saw the expensive ones at these jewelry stores, and I did look. Okay. I did cruise around, and there were no $500 emeralds. Let's just put it, maybe emerald dust. You know, I could probably get some dust, but that was about it. So that was my experience shopping. I was not as successful as Chad.
You can literally go on and go and get a cubic zirconia and green nail polish on it. I like that idea, Jennifer.
It's about the only way she's getting one. Let me put it that way. All right. Let's change gears a little bit here. We have a listener, and I'm going to find his name here real quick for you. He listens all the time, and I've heard from him in the past on occasion. He drives a carriage down in Australia. He works for a commercial carriage company. His name is Kevin Hainsworth.
Oh, Kevin.
He works for a commercial carriage company down in Melbourne. Well, he has been listening for a long time and knows that we fought to keep the carriages in New York City. And something happened down in Melbourne, Australia, and he wanted me to talk to his boss. So last night, because of the time difference, we couldn't have him on live. But last night, I got to catch up with Alex McDonald of Classic Carriage. Take a listen, and you're going to find out that everything that Jamie and I preached for years is coming true, unfortunately. Well, you know, years ago, or not too many years ago, actually, we fought hard to keep the carriages in New York. And I know some of our listeners didn't agree with that. But the reason that we did, and we said it back then, and we've been saying it all along, is this is a slippery slope. Once you start banning horses in one particular discipline or business, the animal rights people are going to be coming after your horses in your discipline and your business. And that's why we spent so much time talking to the carriage drivers in New York and fighting so hard with our listeners to make sure that they stayed. One of our listeners named Kevin is out of Australia. He's been listening for years. And as an active listener, well, he's a carriage driver down in Australia. And I happen to have the person that owns his carriage company on, Alex McDonald of Classic Carriage in Melbourne, correct?
That's correct. Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Good. And I'm so glad you could join us today because the New York thing, I was right, wasn't I? It started the animal rights people down a path.
It did. I've been following New York, what's been going on there, and it as soon as it was mentioned in New York, the animal liberationists in Melbourne then jumped straight on the bandwagon. And now what they do is do everything that they do in New York in their campaign. They just copy. So it's a slippery slope from where we go from here.
So your carriage company operates in Melbourne. What was the setup there, and how is it all done there?
Okay, we run trams in Melbourne. So we've got a main street in Melbourne called Swanston Street, which is blocked off to traffic, and we operate out of there. Slowly, We've got a permit system in place, like I believe they have in New York. And,
kind of like a taxi permit would be similar.
Yeah, council permit, sort of a council permit. Now, what happens is with the campaign the Animal Liberation people have been pushing for the last couple of years, since the New York, they have been buckling to pressure, Town Hall has, and to the ultimate where now where they're saying they've got not going to renew the permits at all. They're muddying the waters a bit because we have a big train tunnel going through Melbourne in the next couple of years. They're starting it soon and it's going to run for the next couple of years. So they're using that as an excuse to get rid of us. They're not quite saying it's the animal liberationists who are their pressure has got rid of us, but we know where it's coming from.
So your mayor came out very recently, like in the last couple of weeks, and said as of June the 30th, the carriages are out of town.
Yeah, so on June the 30th, the mayor has been slowly progressing, saying we can't do anything about it, meaning the council, about the carriages, as though he wanted to get rid of them and sort of appeasing them by saying we can't get rid of them. It's up to our state government. They're legally allowed to be on the roads. So he came out the other day and said, oh, we're going to not issue permits anymore, but the carriages can still go around the city. So he was confusing the situation. Then I got a letter after he made his media announcement saying that we could no longer trade off the streets in Melbourne, a permit to trade off the streets in Melbourne. But the perception he gave when he gave his media interview was we're not just going to issue permits anymore, so the carriages can do what they like. Then a couple of days later, I received off the bureaucrats a letter saying that we can no longer trade off the street. So it gave the public perception that we would keep going, but that's not quite the case.
Now, there was something in the articles I read about St. Kilda Road and the Botanic Gardens.
Yeah, what he said was we're going to leave parking out at St. Kilda Road, which is a little bit out of the city. They can go out there, meaning they could go out there and trade to the public's eye. But when we got the letter a couple of days after, it said you cannot go out there and trade. You can just go out there and rest your horses. I'm not sure what from, but we can, if we have no trading, but we can just rest our horses
if you
there.
You can't use the horse, but you can. They can hang out there.
Yeah, they can hang out there. There's no water out there. There's no amenities out there, but they can hang out there.
You know, I read a lot of these articles, and it was the same thing as in New York. The animal rights people pick out one incident that happened 10 years ago, and they just beat it and beat it and beat it. A loose horse that happened 10 years ago, all horse people know. Every one of us spend the horse shows, and every horse show there's a loose horse, right? So, you know, these things happen with horses, and they happen very seldom, but they keep playing it over and over again, and I assume that was the same thing they did there.
Exactly the same thing. We're a little bit naive. We're a lot smaller industry than New York, but they had what's called media packs. So anytime they could get some media interest, they would hand out their media packs, which had the incident. We've had one incident I can remember in the last 10 years. They hand out that incident. It's played over and over and over again. No horses were injured. No people were injured of the public. So they are very good at what they do. And as I said, it's a slippery slope. Where we go from here, they'll pick out the next horse industry. They've been protesting what they call the pony clubs over here, which is the kids going on a Saturday down to the local pony club with their horse and learning from instructors on
what's their problem? Their problem with that is that they're using horses for anything, basically.
They're using horses for entertainment. Yeah. You cannot use horses for entertainment. And if you use horses in business, then you're definitely evil in their eyes. Yeah. But they target. They are very good at it, and they target smaller industries that aren't as strong, and then they progressively step up from there. It is a very slippery slope we are going down.
What are you going to do?
We're looking at our legal options, as they would have in New York. So it was only announced a couple of days ago. So we'll just basically wait and see where we go from here.
Hmm. Is there anything that you can get your citizens to do, or anything that our listeners to do? We have a lot of them in Australia, New Zealand, and of course all over the world. But is there anything happening there?
Look, we're a very small industry, so it's very hard to run a media campaign because everything costs money. Mm-hmm. We're trying to do a push. You can write to the Lord Mayor of Melbourne and ask him, you know, is this the beginning? Are we going to start banning anything that he doesn't like or is politically on, he doesn't consider it to be good? You can write to him. It's lordmayor@melbourne.gov.vic.au, I think it is. You can write to him and by email and put your displeasure about what's happening.
And Kevin did send me a link to a page that is on, I'm trying to, change.org?
They've run a petition. We have put up a petition now on change.org to try and show how much the public are behind us. I know the majority of the public are behind us, but now we have to demonstrate it to the mayor that the decision he has made is pandering to a very, very loud minority.
Well,
and we have to get that through now to the Lord Mayor.
As I'll put the link to that in our show notes of today's show and also post it over on our Facebook page as well. If you want to go over and sign, it's something that anybody in the world could do. But, you know, it's obviously going to mean more if you're from that area. So if you're from that area, definitely head over there. I'd like to keep in touch with you. I know what you're going through. We've been down this road before here in the United States several times. There's several cities now still battling this. So
I've seen that on the internet. It's just a real slippery slope for horse people.
It is.
So all I can say is be careful.
This is what we talked about years ago and why we were so adamant about fighting it. And I kept saying over and over, and I know some of our listeners are going, why are you talking about this subject again? It's because you know, having horses in your backyard is going to be at jeopardy at some point as the snowball rolls down the hill. So we just have to fight this at every turn we can.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Thanks for being on. What's your website?
I appreciate it. www.acch.com.au.
Okay, very good. We'll put a link to that in our show notes as well.
Beautiful. Thank you, Guy.
Well, there you go. And that's part of the reason why we did talk about it all those years ago. And, you know, he attributes the New York situation to what's happened there. And all across this country now, the carriages are in cities running into the same trouble. And, you know, he said, you know, in Australia now they're going after Pony Club. You know, because
what?
Yep. They're going after Pony Club. They're starting to go after eventing. You know, you and I always said eventing would be next. You know, racing has too much money behind it. They go after the ones they consider the weakest with the least amount of money behind them. And that's who they go after. And so down there, it's Pony Club and eventing. And, you know, they're just easy targets. So we just have to be, you know, be thoughtful.
Well, I mean, it's true. I do beat my horse to get him to jump over all those things. And it's just like he hates it. It's torture. Well, I just like,
and what
man.
What they do is, in his case, there was a runaway horse about 10 years ago, and that's the video they keep showing. It's the only one they've had. But that's the video they keep showing. So in eventing, they show a horse that died on course, you know, 5 years ago, and that's the one they keep bringing up and bringing up and bringing up and bringing up. And unfortunately, you know, we end up with the situation where, you know, eventually, if this snowball keeps rolling down the hill, you're not going to be eventing anymore. So we just have to make sure, you know, that we make a stand and, you know, we do what's right for the horses. I'm not saying abuse horses. Anybody listening to this show is not doing that. So, you know, it's just, ugh. But I wanted to bring it up and I thank our listener down there for bringing it to our attention. Why don't we end on a lighter note? Jennifer, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. It's the last day of the month. I have a study show for May, and there were some interesting ones. Now, people that listen for a long time know we do this segment once a month where I look up, go onto Google, and I just type in study show, and I look at the news over the last month, and we see what we're wasting our money on. Because most of the studies that are done in the world, we already know the answer to. And if they would just give it to Jamie, Jen, and I, Well, there wouldn't be a show because we'd be rich and out of here. So
a lot of money that's been spent on a lot of studies.
A lot of studies. But we changed it about 2 months ago, and you guys are guessing the end, the punchline to the study. I'm going to give you the beginning, and you guys get to guess the end. Are you ready?
Let's do it. I am ready.
Studies show more people driving under the influence of...
A study showed there are more people driving under the influence of, in Tiger Woods' case, prescription medication.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah! What a gem that guy is.
Yeah.
Yeah. At 3 a.m, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're on prescription medicine, 4 different kinds, why are you driving around at 3 a.m. is my question.
I'll never forget when the news story came out that his wife was on top of his car with a golf club beating in the windows. It was to save his life. I'm like, that's the biggest lie I've ever heard. Ain't no woman going to get on top of Tiger Woods' car and beat the crap out of it. Yeah.
Studies show watching a Netflix during dinner could...
cause weight loss, because I watched Game of Thrones last night and it's just so gory that I would not eat.
Jennifer?
I'm going to say cause arguments amongst the family.
Well, I think either of those are possibility, but this study showed that if you watch Netflix during dinner, it's going to make you overweight. So they were not watching Game of Thrones.
I'm not watching gory grossness.
You know, during dinner, we do watch in front of the TV. We have gone now to, if we're eating, we watch something light and fluffy like the Food Channel, and then we go to the gory gross after dinner, because I can't do it during dinner anymore. I know what you're talking about.
It's a good weight loss program.
Studies
shed those cruise calories.
You're right, exactly. Studies show love addiction is...
super fun.
Jennifer?
Love addiction, expensive.
Both of those are true, but this study showed that love addiction is real. So there you go.
Really?
Yeah, we spent money on that. Probably $1 million.
I was gonna say, that's not a study.
Studies show
there's a song about it.
There's a lot of songs about it. Studies show probiotics improve
your pooping.
Jennifer?
It improves the pooping. What else is it going to improve?
You're actually right. Studies show probiotics improve gut health. So we've known this for how long? Hasn't Tigger on the Healthy Critter Show been talking about this, and Karen at KPP and Omega Alpha all been talking about this for years on our show with horses? Why would it be any different for people? Just saying. We didn't need a study. Studies show exercise is great for...
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Everybody else?
Looking at you?
Yeah, exactly.
Jennifer?
An excuse to get the heck out of the house and when, in fact, you're going to the movies.
Nope. Not it. Studies show exercise is great for sleep disorders. So they did a study to show the more things you do during the day, the better you're going to sleep at night.
I have a 4-year-old and I know that.
Yeah. There you go. Everybody with a kid knows that. Studies show more time between the sheets leads to...
Is this like a naughty study?
Yeah,
or
this is a
like...
sex study. So studies show that more time having sex leads to...
More children.
You took my answer.
Well, that's true too. This particular study showed that it leads to more affection, big surprise, respect, and conversation. So if you're having sex, you're having conversation.
Okay.
It's okay. I don't make
I'm trying studies. To I gotta just stop. Like, you gotta move on. Too many. It's like joke overload for me.
Studies show women face larger
boobs.
You took my answer again.
You guys do think alike. No, the actual answer was student loan debt. Now, why women are facing larger student? Are there more going to college? I don't know why their debt would be different than guys.
Because they're not getting paid as much as men for the same freaking jobs.
Oh, so they
have more debt.
I get it. They can't pay them off. That makes sense. See, they didn't need a study. I could have just asked you.
Exactly.
Studies show mosquitoes are more attracted to
Glenn boobs.
Me. Glenn. They love me.
Yeah.
Boobs?
I said boobs. I don't know. It's on top of mind. I feel like the mosquitoes are more attracted to the lighter colored horses.
This had nothing to do with horses, but more to do, and you'll appreciate this one. Studies show mosquitoes are more attracted to beer drinkers.
Oh, damn. That's why they're getting me.
Got to cut out the beer. Although I don't drink beer, and they love me, so I don't know. Studies show pigs eat far more when feed is...
Well, like my chickens, if I leave food out, they'll just continue to gorge on it all day. So maybe if food is present.
Constant food. Jennifer?
I'm going to say not recycled garbage.
That's probably true, too. Studies show pigs eat far more when feed is put near water. Oh, I wonder if that's true for horses. Do your horses eat more if you put the hay right beside the water bucket out in the field?
I don't know, but it just seems like I like having a glass of water next to my dinner.
Yeah, kind of makes sense, right? Studies show fidgeting can actually help you
burn calories.
Yay! Ding, 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 ding. Burn up to 800 calories each day. So Jennifer, every night,
that's your key, Glenn.
Every night we're in the couch, I fidget. My leg goes, everything goes. I'm burning calories.
Yes.
Many
really toning that outside part of your calf as you fidget it.
That's
correct. The table.
Yes. I've been burning 800 calories a day. Now, that would have accounted for one of our desserts every day last week of the two or three we had. Many studies show, and this is why I do not believe anything I read about food being good or bad for you. I don't believe the scientists. I just don't believe them. Many studies show no link between heart disease and...
coffee drinking.
I'm going to say salt.
Saturated fat.
Oh, the biggie.
Now,
and that study was done by Yum Brands. people who put together Taco Bell. And
I didn't look it up. Studies about being the youngest, about being, studies show about being a youngest child, or let me start over. Studies about being a youngest child show that they are set for
success.
Yes.
I don't know.
You're right.
Really?
Yeah.
My younger brother is definitely not.
He's the exception to the rule.
Yeah. Studies show that studies are wrong.
So you're going to love this one. Studies show having a big booty could mean good things for...
All the single ladies. What does Beyonce say? Okay. Yeah. a big booty leads to heart disease.
Studies show having big booties means... Oh, you have an answer, Jennifer? Go ahead.
Yeah. Difficulty finding breeches that fit well.
Well, that's
she's
true.
Right.
I was going to say they're good for underwear manufacturers, but actually, it's big booties could mean good things for your health. Apparently, the bigger your booty, the healthier you are. So I know there's a lot of listeners very happy right now. I brought that up.
Cool.
Studies show emotional stress. Oh, no, let's skip that one. That was a dumb one. Studies reveal Facebook makes us...
stupid.
Close.
I think that Facebook makes me look glamorous because I can just post all the wonderful, happy things, like the picture of Zeus and I galloping through the water. What they didn't see was the complete, like, total half-halt rear that happened two jumps before because he wouldn't slow down. But it looks like he's just happily charging through the water. But again, if you didn't know, you just think my life is like that.
Well, and you know, that is true. There's been other studies, not this one, that has shown that people only post the good stuff. They're not posting about the crappy things that happen every day because nobody wants to read about that. But this study showed that Facebook makes you sad, which is why you have to become an auditor, because that's a happy place. You have to get
Yeah, you're exactly right. But it does kind of like when I had Lucas, you know, I mean, my gosh, I'm keeping that child from trying to keep him eating chicken poop off the ground. And like, I can't get my house clean enough and I'm a total mess. And like, I'm trying to get him the right balanced food. And then I'm trying to sleep. And then I'm trying not, I'm like, I got quite depressed looking back, you know, when you have an infant. And then you look online and there was this girl's like, oh, I just wanted to post how excited I am for so-and-so's first birthday tomorrow. I've decorated that. And like their house looks pristine and perfect and amazing. And she's like, hold on. I've been home making the baby food while I homeschool my other three kids. And I'm like, I hate you. So it does kind of make you sad. I was like, I'm a horrible mother. I'm a terrible person.
Well, this is the last one, and I think you're going to be happy with this one, all right? So you and I, you know, we're kind of outgoing, right? And I saw this, and I like to think we're likable. Well, this study showed, you don't have to guess at this one, this study showed three things you should do every day if you want to be more likable. So, Jamie, we'll see if you and I pass this test here.
Okay, I'm writing these down.
All right, smile and be energetic. Well, we both do that, right? So,
okay,
right, we're likable that way. You need to master the art of small talk. Well, we got that one down.
I can be better at that.
You're pretty good.
So how's it going? Same old, same old.
You're pretty good at that, or you wouldn't be doing this show and be on radio for 20 years. And do small favors for others. So those three things are what make you likable. And I like doing, Jennifer knows, I do small favors for others all the time. And
sweet. Can I borrow like $3,000?
I said small favors. So your $10 will be coming over.
300? 30?
You know, but you know, it is nice. And you know, I think I made a conscious effort at the beginning of this year to do little nice things every day, or not every day, but every week, to do little nice things when they come up. I don't force them. When they come up, to do a nice thing. Like we gave extra tips to our servers on the cruise, which we didn't have to. It's built in your price. It's just little nice things that I do once a week. And Jennifer kind of knows what they are. And they could be donating through the web or whatever, the things I see. But I think I've been happier since I started to do that in January.
Aw.
So I can see where this study shows more likable and happier. I think if you're smiling, energetic, you're pretty good at small talk and talking to people, and you do small favors for others, you're going to be happier too. So
fake it till you make it, baby.
Yeah. Why didn't they get us to do the study? We could have taken the $500,000 and you wouldn't be asking to borrow $3,000 right now. We would have.
How can I become happier? I don't know. Smile and talk to people. Do nice things. Be a good person.
That's right.
Science, baby. Science.
Well, that's it for today. We really appreciate you joining us. Good to be back with you, Jamie.
Good to be back with
Jennifer.
Good to have me back.
That's right.
I'm happy to be back.
Well, Jennifer is waiting for, did you get really bad ads while we were gone, or do you need some?
I could use some more, but I had a reasonable, pile of them in my inbox. Yes.
Did you have anybody sending you recorded ones?
Did not get any recorded ones.
So get your recorded ones in. We're going to be announcing new prizes. We know what one of them will be. A $50 gift certificate with Gelly Herd.
You guys can get the Rope Aquamarine jewelry too. It's not expensive. That's another thing too. You know, there's like on Gelly Herd, there's like three versions of everything. There's like the cheap version, then the expensive one, and then the really expensive one. So it's kind of something for everyone. Anyway, yeah, but email those because we like it when you send in your own ads. And then you get two entries into the prize. Double entries, people, if you
Sounds
record
good.
Your own.
Well, thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. We'll be back. It's the Draft Horse Day here on Horses in the Morning at 9 a.m. See you, everybody.
Bye, neuter and gal. Have a good one.